Well, here we are in our Bible study segment, ladies, and our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, today we're going to see what David's response was when God told him, "No, you don't get to build my temple, but I've got something better for you." So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel. We're going to be reading in chapter 7, verses 18 through 29. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God, because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth, whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name, and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, a nation and its gods. And you established for yourself and your people Israel to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken. And your name will be magnified forever, saying, 'The Lord of hosts is God over Israel,' and the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever." Okay, seriously? God told David no, and David's response is humility. Abject, utter humility. He doesn't get angry or cranky or ask why God won't let him build the temple. He doesn't whine or plead or moan or try to change God's mind. He accepts God's answer and is humbled by the reminder of all the things that God has already done for him. He can feel the hand of God on him as God tells David about the future of David's family, and David rejoices in it. He knows he isn't worthy of any of this. He knows that this is not normal also. He knows that he was selected and set apart for a great purpose for God. Not every man in Israel was chosen to be king. David was. Not every man will have a line of heirs kept the way that David's will. Not every man will be told about the future of his heirs either. David knows this, and he appreciates what God is doing for him. I want to look closely at David as he comes and sits before the ark of the Lord. There is so much in this prayer that he prays, and as I read this prayer, I can't help but make it my prayer as well. You see, while I'm not a king, and I'm not rich or famous or powerful, I do see God's hand in my life, blessing and protecting and guiding me, and I am grateful and awed. So this prayer of David speaks loudly to me. I want to be clear, I'm not trying to read myself into being David here, but bear with me for a moment today. Keep in mind that the exact text from today is chapter 7, verses 18 through 29. And keep in mind that what I'm about to share is the Beth paraphrase, as David goes in before the ark of the Lord and prays and gives thanks to God. David begins by asking a question. So, if you will, hear these words again, with some more detail of what David is conveying in those simple phrases, as he praises his Father in heaven. "Who am I, O Lord? I'm a sinful creature, not worthy of anything you have already given me. I am just a man, nothing special, whom you have chosen for your purpose. And, oh, Lord, what is my house, my family? We're a lowly family in a tribe and totally unworthy of all that you have already showed to us. You have brought me from shepherd to king, from running from enemies to rest and peace from war, from wandering aimlessly and hiding to having a beautiful palace to call home. It is evident that you, O Lord, have done all these things, for I am a sinner, a wretched man, and undeserving. Yet you did it anyway. And yes, God, this was so small and meager in your infinite sight. You, who created the universe, would deign to show such care for me and promise to do infinitely more. This is truly an act of yours, O God, because no man would show such favor to one so far beneath them as I am below you. I am at a loss for words. O Lord, I can scarcely understand what you have done and will do for me. And you know me. You know my ugly, sinful heart better than anyone. Yet you would still act with such grace toward me. And you've done it all according to your own desire to bring glory to yourself. Truly, O Lord, there is none like you. You are great in nature, in your person, in your perfection, in your purpose, in your promise, and in your mighty works. There is no one who is even in the same solar system as you, God, maker of heaven and earth. I know all of the things you've done for your people, rescuing them from Egypt, parting the Red Sea, caring for them in the wilderness, bringing them into the land of Canaan, raising up judges to care for and lead your people, and driving out the other nations ahead of your people. There is no nation on earth like yours whom you have called and shown your strength and might. You have chosen to redeem these people for your purpose and your glory, doing great things for these people and terrible things to their enemies. As long as your people obey and seek you, you continue to provide for and protect them because you are faithful, O Lord. And now, O Lord, do all that you have decided to do, establishing the kingdom of me, your servant, so that you may continue to be glorified and raised up, O God, so that your glory will be shown and your greatness displayed in raising up me and my unworthy family to such a place. And you have revealed all of these amazing things to me, and I cannot but praise and thank you and know that I'm not worthy of this. Oh, but I'm so grateful that you would choose to establish my kingdom for your purpose and your glory, God. God knew what he was doing when he chose David to be the king. Can you picture this prayer coming from Saul? Saul wouldn't have been grateful. He would have been gleeful and perhaps even greedy for more. David, however, remains concerned with God's glory and honor. His heart seeks to praise God, and he praises him for saving not only David himself, but also for choosing Israel to be God's people. He doesn't ask God to follow through on God's promises so that David's line will endure forever. He asks God to do this so that all men may see how God keeps his word and is faithful and worthy to be praised. Israel's uniqueness was because God had chosen them. They didn't deserve it. They couldn't earn it. Yet God selected them out of all other nations and peoples to be his. God didn't do this because the Israelites were the best people ever. Seriously, think about how often they showed how human they really were. But God did this for his own sovereign purposes. He selected them, had mercy and grace on them, and loved them. Not so they could boast. Indeed, they had little to boast about in all their failures, but so that he might shine through them to all the other men all around the world, so that all men would know his glory. David lays claim to the promise God has given him. He grabs hold of it and clings to it with all his might. I can imagine him repeating the words of God through Nathan as he's on the run again later. I can imagine him repeating these words as he loses an infant son. And I can imagine him holding on to God's words as he lays on his deathbed, giving his son instructions on how to be a good king. What a joy and a comfort to David, and what an amazing gift God has given in him in this promise. Again, there's so much we can learn from David. When he is given this amazing gift, he doesn't ask for more. He doesn't whine that he didn't get the gift he wanted building the temple. He is so thankful for what God has given him that he is humbled too. He honestly sees that he doesn't deserve this. But unlike much false modesty we see today, he doesn't say, "Oh no, it's too much, I couldn't possibly." Now, not everyone who says that is being falsely humble, but many say it while thinking, "Ooh, nice, how cool for me." David knows he doesn't deserve this treatment. "Who am I?" he asks over and over. But David is grateful beyond belief. He knows that he owes everything he has to God, and he praises God and gives God the glory as he accepts this amazing gift too. The questions that I would normally ask at this point today, I'm going to ask in the study questions instead. And the reason is simple. Because today, I want us all to stop and thank God for the grace that he's poured out on our lives, to join David in praising our God who, knowing our hearts, knowing our sin, still chose us to be his sons and daughters. We can all ask, "Who am I?" along with David. And at the end, we can all end up right where David did too, not burdened with guilt and feelings of worthlessness, but abounding in joy that he loves us so much to care for us in such amazing ways. I pray that all of us are encouraged by this today and are able to share our gratitude with God for all that he has done for us. So please check the links on Naomi's table today too, and you'll find a song entitled "Who Am I" by Point of Grace. And I hope that that will encourage you today as well.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.